Welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. Today, I have the immense pleasure to talk to Ari Hunniford of Awkwardly Zen. It's a spiritual community, relatively new, based out of Colorado, but she has meetups throughout the country right now. It's an environment in which you can ask the questions, you can answer some questions, but it's full of respect and love and exploration. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel, so I bring forward your guides so you can connect more easily with them, allowing you to have soul-deep conversations with them whenever you want. I'm also an energy healer, past life explorer, a teacher. My goal is to empower you by teaching you these techniques that you can use on your own. We work together to find and identify the blockages to your growth and release them, inviting you to explore your possibilities. I'm available for phone and virtual sessions. The best way to contact me is Susie, that's S-U-S-Y, Susie@BlueLightningHealing.com. Visit BlueLightningHealing.com for up-to-date information. Blessings. So, Q, welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins. I'm a channel, energy healer, and podcast host. And today I have with me the amazing Ari Hunniford. I met her over the internet, which doesn't sound sketchy anymore because that's how we have met so many people. Ari runs a group called Awkwardly Zen. I'm excited to have you here. If you could give me your information and let's start talking. This is going to be cool. I'm excited.
Well, me too. Thank you so much. Yeah, we started Awkwardly Zen almost exactly a year ago. We actually just celebrated our year anniversary yesterday and it blew up. And talking about that online side of things and meeting people online, I was joking about that at our celebration that I've always told my teenager, you know, you can't really be friends with people you meet online. I have had to eat my words. For sure on that. This last year has taught me that is not true.
Well, it has definitely opened doors for me because, you know, I know people now in Toronto and in Portland. And yeah, I'm just near Seattle and Portland's all downhill from there. If you look at the globe and I should be able to drive it, but and so yeah, it's really opened the door on meeting people in different places.
Well, and Awkwardly Zen, it started as a safe place for people to explore their spiritual path. And we started online because we started in the middle of COVID and we were based here in Denver because on meetup.com, which is where we started, you have to pick an area. And so we started in Denver, but pretty quickly we realized that if we were going to jump to other areas, this was the time to do it because people were looking for connection. So many people finding us in Denver from other areas. Pretty quickly, we started expanding into other locations. And now we're in 10 different locations and we're about to start our 11th. Basically, all that means is that you can find us in your time zone, which is really important. But also, we are now starting to do in-person events. Yeah, it's very exciting. As a matter of fact, I'll be in Seattle at some point this year. I haven't figured out when yet.
Sweet.
I'm excited. Excited about it. But, you know, we started as a spot because I had this amazing group of friends that as I was started down my spiritual path, I could talk to them about all the weirdness that happens. And you're nodding right now because it's so true. And I'm sure your listeners are. If you don't have someone you can say, hey, this really weird thing happened when I was meditating, it's a little bit lonely. As I found my voice on my own path and with my friends, I realized that a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah. To be able to say something like, oh yeah, I was talking to my dog the other day, or I saw this image or this thing came to me, and to have somebody say, that's not weird, this happened to me, and to create that connection, it's like a whole new window opens up and you think, I'm not crazy.
Well, and when you open up to that and you don't feel like you're crazy, I feel like it allows you to open up in a broader way. I mean, one door opens another to another. And when you're not trying to hide, it definitely can increase the volume of those experiences that you have, which to me was such a fun thing. Like, it was such an adventure.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it is really fun. There are times I've come out of a session, the client looks at me, it's like, I didn't know you could do that. It's like, neither did I.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Let's roll with
it. During this year, that was me too. I started doing readings for people. And at the end of multiple readings, it's like, that's never happened before. That's a great adventure.
I like it when there's that openness and accepting it. I've spent a lot of time going, no, 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 this is crazy. But actually, as soon as we moved up here, that I started to explore that aspect of my experience. And it just drew all of these amazing people to me. And now, like you've said, with the pandemic and being online so much, it's creating a greater net. This energy grid is spreading all over.
Well, yeah. And I think for us, you know, one of our main events that we do, we have five what's called Zen Zooms a week. And that is just an open conversation about spirituality. It's different every time. We have a moderator who guides the entire event. And so everyone comes in and we ground, and then everyone says, here's what's going on with me spiritually right now. And then the moderator guides the conversation through that. And people take turns talking about that or helping each other out or saying, hey, this happened to me too. That collaboration of ideas, and also that not feeling like you are completely alone, yeah, has made such a big difference. But I think it was more important than ever during this last year, because there were a lot of people who were going through major transitions in friendships with the awareness of who people actually are. And so a lot of people had to walk away from people who had been friends with them for their entire lives, or who they thought were on the same page as them. But during the pandemic and during BLM and during all of these major issues, had to say, is this really what I want in my life? And it was so nice to be able to create a safe space for people to say, I don't have anyone to talk to about my spiritual journey. And I certainly can't talk to this friend over here because I'm all of a sudden realizing that they're kind of a jerk. And he'd be like, hey, come on over. Let's have a conversation. I mean, our number one rule in Awkwardly Zen is there's no right or wrong, right? Like, you can believe what you want, but you have to hold space for other people to have different beliefs and have respect for that. It's really worked well for us, because if you don't respect somebody else, I mean, one person might believe in dragons and the next person might not be at that spot yet, but that's okay. You don't have to. The spiritual path is super vast. Like, we don't have to agree on everything. And I think that's something that gets lost sometimes in the spiritual world.
Yeah. I encourage people to open up to their gifts, because when you look at it, if you're looking at it at source or divine, there's such an incredible spectrum of experience. I don't see that only one kind of, say, binary experience is all that source has in mind. There's so many things that we all can do. And I think we can all do it. It's just what's going to resonate with us.
Yeah. Finding your little niche in the world, but then also not limiting yourself. I mean, I don't know how many readers I have experienced through this last year who they come in and they say, I'm a tarot reader, and then I'll do a reading with them or trade readings or experience that. And immediately I'm hearing from their guide saying, you're not quite just a tarot reader. Not that there's anything wrong with just being a tarot reader, but when you can feel that person's talents coming through, when you can feel that, I don't want to limit myself. I don't want other people to limit themselves. So it is, I think you're right. Like, the vastness of it and the amazing different things that you can learn about, it can be completely overwhelming. So it's easy to put our human, let me find my one spot that I belong. So far in my experience, the more I don't do that to myself, the more I all of a sudden go, oh, well, I didn't know I could see that kind of image. And okay, well, I hear that now. And we hear that all the time in our meetups, is people coming in going, I've been pulling cards for myself for years, but I started pulling cards for my friends. And now all of a sudden I can like hear their guides and I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And all the rest of us are going, yay, that's so awesome.
You're still connecting with guides and hearing it, but it's a means by which you can convey more information. But to realize that people say, I want to channel like you do, Susie. It's like, no, I got a theater degree, so I know how to present characters in such a way. It's still, you have one too?
That's my, I have a degree in theater, acting and directing.
Okay.
That's why we're so connected, Susie.
I like it. Theater kids. I know. And I spent some time thinking, oh, it can't be real because it's theater and I'm acting and everything. But there's a friend of mine who said, no. And I worked with my guides too. And they kept saying, this makes it easier for you to present, to physicalize the different energies.
You know, I was just talking to one of our, we have a bunch of partner practitioners with Awkwardly Zen, and they're people who come come in and teach and who actually become a part of our community. And it's one of the most magical parts about the community, because you get to see these practitioners as they are as humans, because very often it's easy to put a practitioner up on a pedestal and go, oh my gosh, they're so amazing. And yeah, they are, because they are open to their gifts, but they're just like us, right? Everybody's the same. They put their pants on in the morning, or they don't, it's up to them, you know, but they have these fears and they have these human things as well. And to be able to talk that through with them has been so powerful. We were discussing this idea of broadening out. How do we communicate with people? How do we talk to people? How do we go through this whole process with one another and really help encourage people to be in their truth and who they are? That's not always an easy thing to do.
No. Frequently, you have a lot of programming that has been instilled in you, trying to figure out and trying to break through, and all those layers and layers. And yeah, so I totally get it. And to have an environment in which you can explore those.
And also to realize, and here's the big thing I love, our strongest partners are ones who are like, they're just such an inspiration to all of us, are the ones who are constantly talking about how they are continuing to do the work. Because it's really easy as a practitioner to think, because you're doing readings for other people, that you don't need to do the work because you're so spiritual, right? You're constantly in this spiritual world. And the same thing when you run all these events like we do, it's really easy to go, well, yeah, I'm running 3 Zen Zooms a week, or, and I'm attending all 5. So I'm doing the work. And it's like, no, 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 time out. To have that experience with the practitioners and listen to them and how they are doing the work. We have a podcast network on awkwardlyzen.com called AZ Media. And I met with the folks who are getting that started and who are making that happen. And they had this beautiful conversation about what it means to continue on your spiritual path, even when you've hit some of these milestones that other people might think, oh my gosh, you've made it. They know at their core that never happens, right? You never make it. You never are at this point. And that might be a controversial thing to say, because there are those people out there, these gurus, these people who say, I know it all and you must listen to me. And I'm just like, it's to throw up a little in my mouth, to be honest with you.
No, I get it. For somebody who says, or I've seen practitioners who present their insight as fact, as ultimate, that's when I get really, really skeptical. And especially on Zoom, I work really hard to keep my game face on, which is that little smile. And there are times where I'm sure you can see recordings where I cock my head with that, really?
Get that like puppy dog thing going, wait, wait, wait. Yeah, me too. And it's funny, we actually even had to make a rule in Awkwardly Zen, or a guideline we call them, where it's that this isn't a teachable moment. This is a, my personal experience is, not a, you should do this. Because it feels better when you hear other people's experiences and you get to make those choices for yourself. To me, for anyone to think that they have the right to come in and say, you should do this on your spiritual path, is really tough for me, because it's your path. Like, I can't tell you what to do. Now, if I'm going to a instructor of something, if I'm going to Jason Analek and asking him about Akashic Records, I want him to tell me his beliefs. I want him to tell me what he is being guided to tell me. But in a group setting where we're all just sharing about all of our ideas and our love and all of that, to think for a minute that I know any more than anyone else is jarring to me. So that's a big thing with Awkwardly Zen, is this idea that we're all on the same playing field. It doesn't matter if you've been doing this for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Kendara, who is one of our original members, she's been doing psychic and I Ching and all sorts of things for over 40 years. And she still comes to every single one of these events with an open mind and is so excited when she learns something new, because there are always new things to learn.
I think so. That's part of my thoughts about life in general, is like, I got to keep learning. There are so many other people who have different experiences. And you say the word should, and that just gives me a visceral response. You should do this. And I'm like, whoa, no, I should. And that's exactly when I dig in my heels and go, make me, you know, just, I'm not going to, it's guy, I've got to do what resonates with me. And that's that, I keep saying, vastness, that spectrum of experience that we humans manifest. I had an interview with my friend, Mary McKenzie, and she made this statement to me, that she was taught that as humans, we are eyes for divine, And that when we look through this as humanized, that's where the judgment comes in. It was far more eloquent, and I don't remember the exact quote, but that's the thing. We are having that physical experience for spiritual beings, and we take that information back, and to think that we can learn everything in one lifetime. No, I don't think that happens.
In my belief system, we chose this too. Like we chose to have these experiences. And so to limit ourselves to those, that's not what my path is this time around.
No.
And you know, I enjoy that so much, and I have to catch myself because I am by nature, I have a feeling you might be too, a problem solver. Like I like to fix things. And so it's very easy for me to fall into that mom mode of I'm going to fix, I'm going to take care of this. I've got this. And I've had to learn, especially over this last year, that it's not about me fixing anything. It's about people feeling safe to express themselves and to feel like for just a minute, nobody's going to look cross-eyed at them. Nobody's going to know you're wrong. And it's only been a handful of times that somebody has come in to the group and done that. And immediately that's why we have a moderator. Like that person's job is to go, oh, time out. We don't do right and wrong here. And it's amazing because the whole group just goes, oh yeah. And then we keep going. And it's so amazing to be in a Zoom room full of like-minded people. And even if we have the most opposite points of view on certain things, we're still like-minded because we're coming together to be a strong core of people. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we're in this stage of our process where there's a lot more people coming out of the woodwork and paying attention to what's going on for us to be able to create safe havens for them to step into their light and step into what their path is. I just feel so blessed that I was handed this idea and that I got out of my own way to let it happen because I didn't feel like I had the right.
Oh, yeah. Getting out of your own way. Oh boy. Right? I wish I had a pat answer for that one. How do I get out of my own way? I'll let you know when I figure it out too.
I have been saying to myself for the last year, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. I have very clear things that have come to me about Awkwardly Zen. Awkwardly Zen itself came to me in a meditation. And I was like, I can't run a spiritual community. I'm too new on my path. Why would anyone listen to me? Well, then I had to get out of my own way and realize it wasn't about me. They're not listening to me. They're listening to each other. And I didn't know how we were going to get a website. And I said, I don't know. It'll work out. I told my husband, who's a tech guy, hey, this is the website I want for Awkwardly Zen. And he said, you can't have that. And I went, what? And he said, it's going to be too expensive and all these different excuses and why we can't. He's a little more human brain than I am. And I said, well, if it's only money, we'll figure that out. Like, it's none of my business how it's going to happen. Well, come to find out what we wanted and what we wanted to create wasn't that much money. We just needed to have the person with the right information. And as a volunteer popped up and said, hey, I got it for you, and made the website and designed the website, and it looked exactly like what I drew that I had seen in a meditation months before. And I never showed her that. So talk about like synchronicities and these things. And so as that's happening, it's been real easy for me to be like, I don't know. I have no idea. I can see the vision of what's coming. It's none of my business how it happens. I'm just going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And as things come to me, I'll do the work. I'll come do a podcast with Susie so new people can find us on Awkwardly Zen. It's been such an amazing process. And I am not a get out of my own way person. I shouldn't say that. That's not speaking my truth anymore. I was not a get out of my own way person. I am becoming that through this process. And it is so much more fun.
It is. I know I get spun around the axle about trusting what divine has got to be. And the key phrase for me has been divine alignment, whatever's in divine alignment. And I understand that divine timing is frequently not the same as human timing. I've learned to kind of step back. And true, this past year has given me that opportunity to go, not my problem.
Totally. When I got that first download about Awkwardly Zen, on the very bottom, I wrote everything out that happened in the meditation. And on the very bottom, I wrote greatest good. And that's been our theme since the beginning, is what is for the greatest good? Or I trust that this is for the greatest good. With that intention in mind and doing that, it's been easy to weed out the things that are not for our greatest good, right? And I'm so grateful to COVID, which is such a weird thing to say, but I'm so grateful because it allowed me to step out of my day-to-day crazy busy mindset. Like I used to have this idea that if I wasn't crazy busy, then I wasn't doing enough. Yeah, I'm real over that now. Like I had this opportunity to step back from that and to just be for a minute. And, you know, you hear all of these people say, oh, you just need to be. And I used to be one of those people who was like, F off. I can't just be. And then I just sat and I was able to connect with nature in a way that I never had before. And I was able, like, one of the things I always talk about, because it was my favorite moment of all of COVID, was sitting outside and realizing that some leaves are sparkly and some leaves are dull. And I had never in my life noticed that, but certain leaves sparkle when the sun hits them and certain leaves don't. And I never, ever noticed it. And so it was this connection with earth that I didn't have before. And my realization that I don't pay attention. I was so busy trying to get things done and to accomplish and to do that I didn't see the beauty in every little moment.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing for me and what had to happen so that I could get out of my own way. Okay. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. If it hadn't have been for COVID, I wouldn't be here talking to people that I've met and exploring all of this stuff. The podcast started in April 2020. So it's been over a year and a half. Like, I wouldn't have done this and explored all of these different topics and tapped into that other aspect of what I can do and channeling over Zoom. Wow. Who'd have thunk?
Seriously.
And also, my moment has been my family. We all live in the same house. My adult children are here and I'm here and my husband's here. And I've gotten to realize how cool they are, how much I enjoy their company. We all have our separate rooms, but then when we come in, we're invariably having a good time and talking. And it's been really reassuring for me. Somebody pointed out how they envied what we had going. And I'm like, oh, geez, there are times, you know, with five of us in the house, I would like to have that alone time. I was able to take that time to listen and to hear what was going on. So I was like, oh, okay. So it is all perspective that's enhanced.
And define that gratitude, right? Huh? I think that was a huge thing for me this last year. And actually one of our members, her name is Kitty, she introduced us to the concept of radical gratitude. Kitty Jean, I should say. Let me make sure I say it right. And to her, what radical gratitude means is that in any moment, there are so many things to be grateful for, right? So like how I explain it is I love Sharpies. Like, they're my favorite. So you give me a new Sharpie, I'm like a cat and with a new catnip toy. But if I can pick up a Sharpie and I can look at it and I can think how many people had to go into making that Sharpie for me, right? That marker. So somebody had to create that color. Somebody had to figure out how to make the machines to make it. Somebody had to create the ink that writes Sharpie on it. Somebody else did the packaging, like thousands and thousands of people. And even more than that, when you think about the families that had to create them and all of that went into creating this little bit of joy that I get to hold in my hands. And so my gratitude can go from something where it's like, oh yay, I like Sharpies. Woohoo. I'm grateful I got a new Sharpie, to look at how much had to go into getting me this Sharpie. Like, talk about divine oneness, all of these things to create this one little thing of joy. And so when I'm in my moments where I'm not feeling my absolute best, I try to go back to that spot and like look at a shelf and go, okay, the nail that's holding that up. And it's such a fascinating thing to realize how many blessings we have and how many people are involved with that all over the world. And so that's been a huge, huge thing for me during all of this too, is how do I find that gratitude and sit in that gratitude, which is another way to get out of your own way, because being in the moment and being happy with what you have is not always easy. And believe me, I want more. I like the idea of more. I want to go on the vacations and do all the things, but I was able to sit in what I had and really just love it. Which was pretty
good. Yeah. Gratitude. I spend a lot of time with the gratitude. What we do before dinner, we will say our gratefuls. So we don't say grace over food. That's the hold back from my husband and I are recovering Catholics. So we don't do that anymore. We will all take a minute to say what we're grateful for in the day. And I work to have at least three things to be grateful for. And it always ends with, and I love y'all very much. It's just something, even on the poopy days, when you just go, okay, and it's pulling you out of that. And then looking at a single item, that's given me a lot to think about. I used to pay bills. Well, not used to. When I pay bills.
Hey, you should probably still do that.
I think so. Yeah. Okay, fine. So when I was paying bills, when I was at this point of feeling like we had some lack going, we didn't have enough money, I remember it's like, okay, when I pay this bill, there are people whose salary we're paying, and I'm grateful to have this commodity that I am paying for, whether it's electricity or water or groceries or whatever. And then the money does go to help these people live their lives and have their homes. And so the Sharpie, I like the Sharpie concept. I think there's going to be a pithy name that we come up with as a result
of it. It could be anything. I mean, for whoever doesn't love their Sharpies, which, I mean, what's wrong with you? But whoever is that school supply thing that I have can definitely find whatever. And, you know, in her situation, she was talking about how she was ill and how she couldn't talk. She couldn't communicate. She couldn't anything. All she could see was the drip dropping down in her IV. And she just started saying, thank you with every drip. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. When you hear these stories, like, that's my life. I'm surrounded by these stories where these beautiful people come in and they share these bits of insight, and to watch a whole room of people go, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. And that's life changing. It's so gorgeous to watch that happen. And it's really easy to stay in gratitude when you get to spend every day with all of these amazing people who really want to do better and be better and be there for one another. And we didn't have that in the same way. And I think there's a lot of groups like ours out there. There's a lot of places to find that community. I'm going to be speaking at the Athena Festival here in Denver in November about that. How do you find your spiritual community? Because it's easy when you are a religion, right? I shouldn't say that. I know it's hard to find the right church and the right fit and all of that, but you have specific places where people go, but the spiritual world is so different because it's so vast. And somebody who wants to go and explore being a witch or doing things like that, it's a totally different person who might want to go explore meditation. It is so spread out right now. And I think that's what our goal is with Awkwardly Zen, is to create a place where you can find whatever it is, whatever niche. Like on awkwardlyzen.com, we have 50 some groups where you can say, hey, I want to learn about energy healing, or ask a question, or share my wisdom, or I want to talk about dragons or fairies. A big one for me was Sasquatch. Like when I first started, it's not that I don't believe in Sasquatch. It's that my human brain was like, what? Okay. All right. Now, Source has a great sense of humor, and there's been lots of interaction with a variety of things with Sasquatch. I see them everywhere now in my life. Before that, as something that I was embracing and going, why not? That's my big answer to the whole spiritual thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Why not? Yeah. I've called myself a why not-ian too.
Right. Because there's so many things we don't know. And if anything, the spiritual path shows you that on a daily basis, if you're doing the work, like daily basis, where I'm like that, okay, I can't ignore this synchronicity 80th time.
Yeah. Harkening back to what you've been talking about, I get a very happy sense that there's no comparison there. So you're talking about the woman who was saying thank you to the IV. I mean, I had a cancer experience. Somebody once tried to talk me into loving the cancer. It's like, let me tell you how I'm approaching this. And so I can be grateful for the things surrounding it and all the lessons there. And I'm still here. And so great, all fine and dandy. And then a friend of mine in Florida had some melanoma in his nose. And he said, oh, it's not as bad as Susie. And I went, nope, nope. This is your experience. You know, and I'm not taking away from it. And I do all the energy sending and all that. So having a space where there's not competition, I feel that we can all work to be better. But that whole comparison, complete with hair flips and like, ugh, that sort of thing, you know, that hand sign that people do with the palm out, you're like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
So being on a level playing field, I love that idea to have that. I'm already tearing up because I'm so excited for this concept, having such a healthy opportunity, a healthy life.
That's our goal, is because somebody could be in the middle of cancer and be handling it in a way that's magical and it's amazing, right? Like, good for them. And they're doing it in this way, but that doesn't mean somebody else needs to do it that way. And the same thing in spirituality. Like, we talk about that all the time. Meditation is a perfect example. Meditating is something that comes pretty naturally to me. I'm blessed with it. I can do it. I do it every day. I have a counter to make sure that I do it every day. Like, that's how I make sure I do. That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy for somebody else, or that they need to meditate in the same way I do. There's a billion different ways to meditate.
Yeah.
And the pressure that we put on ourselves to be like other people. And in this society, like our online community, and we try to call it an online community, not a social media, because we don't want it to be a social media. We want it to be a community community where we can support and interact and love on one another, not try to show how much better we are than everyone else.
Right.
Like I always say, if you're looking for an Instagram model who's going to tell you how to be Zen, we are not your people. We are not your people. Right. You're going to hear from me how one day I'm feeling real good and I have this amazing meditation. And the next day I crawled into bed for 3 hours because I just couldn't. That's what we're trying to do, is be our real selves, not try to be shiny. Sometimes we're shiny and sometimes we're stuck in the muck, and both things are okay.
It's all valid. It's all part of the experience. Yeah. I try to meditate and then I wake up 2 hours later. I've done those consciousness raising groups, and there was one where my head fell back and I was snoring like grandpa after Thanksgiving. And yeah, that's not conducive, but that's me getting out of the way. But to understand and to encourage people to do it in the way that works for them, that's really important. I don't think there's one single way to do it.
No. And it's hard. And again, that comparison can be a doozy on the other side too, right? Like I want to celebrate myself and the milestones that I hit. So I do, because why not? Like, we don't celebrate ourselves enough. We spend a whole lot of time telling ourselves how unworthy we are and how awful we are and how bad we are, but we don't celebrate the little wins on a day-to-day basis. But what I've learned is when I celebrate those wins, somebody who might not be in that headspace sometimes will look at that and compare. I try to make sure that, especially within the group, that we do that, where it's, yes, today I'm celebrating this because 2 days ago, this is what happened. And we do that a lot. We do what's called a hand waggle, because we're all on mute. We'll throw our hands up when we're in agreement and give them a shake. It's like the sign language applause.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And it helps, because when somebody's talking and they say, you know what, I just felt really weird because I had this like vibration and I got this ringing in my ear and I just feel really, and half the room's hand goes up and starts shaking because they've had a similar experience. You go, oh, I can keep talking. And let me tell you, and then you dig in deeper, you tell your truth. But because of those kind of things, and because of that way to do that, we will share in these groups sometimes when it is awful. And you'll see those hands go up for that as well, where they're like, I can't meditate and it's making me crazy because Ari meditates all the time and she's doing really great. And I want to do that like Ari. And then I'll pop in and be like, dude, don't compare yourself, because I've meditated every day, but probably only half of those times I've really felt connected. And of those times, only this time, you know, so it's a really cool way to just not worry about not being perfect.
Yeah, that's, I think, a really important point. So we don't all come out all polished, and sometimes spiritual growth and emotional healing and all of that is really, really messy. And if all you can do today is put on new underwear or something, that's frequently a big success. I don't see it as being easy. My guys are showing me like, no, it's not always this rainbow sparkly slide that you all go down, you know, and all that. You've got to dig deep and shadow. I've talked to Wyatt Larson about doing shadow work, and there are people who are afraid of what they're going to find. But to have an environment or a community that will do that, that will waggle their hands saying, yeah, I've experienced that too.
Yeah.
And I get where you're coming through that connection. I've heard people wonder out loud, it's like, can you do this work over Zoom? And I went, yeah, of course you can. Energy travels through time and space and all over the place. And it can certainly travel through a video monitor. It's energy. It's not limited except only by human concept, human perception. So to be able to make that connection digitally, it has been one of the biggest boons from this isolation and pandemic situation. And it's not a bad thing. It's okay.
No. And I think honestly, it's changing spirituality and the metaphysical world in such a big way. I mean, we have two passions in Awkwardly Zen. We have a passion for our members to create a safe place for them to explore their spiritual path. And then we also have a passion for our practitioners, because there are so many brilliant practitioners out there who have zero idea either how to run a business or how to get to the people that need them. And so creating opportunities for people to find each other and to see who they need to be connected with has been such a cool blessing. And we have people who, We'll see Lori Hewitt, who does Soul Counsel and Soul Path readings in Denver, who are from Seattle or who are from Florida, you know, and they're able to find each other because they're meeting in this online community. My friend Valerie, she has a meetup as well. I'm always going to say it wrong. I think it's Tarot Unicorns and Coffee, or Unicorns Coffee and Tarot. And she will flat out say, like, meeting Lori through Awkwardly Zen kickstarted her onto her actual path because she was able to have a reading and get that answer. And Lori gets a lot of credit in our world because she also is the one who said, hey, your soul counsel says you're supposed to start a meetup. And I was like, what? Why would I do that? She was absolutely right. I started it that day. And 2 days later, we had 60 members. And I went, oh, man, I guess I got to do something with this. But the online world has made it so that we can connect. And I've now traveled multiple places and actually met our members in areas and got to hug them and love them. And it's such a cool blessing to do that. It's like, how amazing is this? Yeah.
That connection. I did an in-person event and there were people I had only seen online. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. So that's, I'm looking forward to that physical hugging. But I think having this online connection is what's gotten a lot of us through it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had no idea when we started. I knew Awkwardly Zen was going to be something. I knew it. And I didn't know how or what was going to happen. I didn't know that we were going to be a year into it and have 2,400 members and have 10 wow, locations
great.
And have all of these things and have our website. And we're about to put out our app so that people can more easily use our online community and connect with one another. So I didn't have any idea any of that was going to happen in this first year, but because of the connection, and because of the spirit of it, people, they want to be a part of something that feels good. And that's my whole thing with Awkwardly Zen. If it doesn't feel good, it's not right. So yeah, we've got to do some things that aren't our favorite things to do. But at the end of the day, it's to make it feel real good for people. And so that's like our constant, like, wait a minute, something doesn't feel right. Everyone just stop. We're just going to be for a minute and then source will guide us. We'll figure it out. And the answer always comes. And I've tried to put that into my actual, like, real non-online life of, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to trust.
And I find that looking for the answer in unusual places, not the typical places, but opening up, and you can find answers all over the place. It could just be a phrase you keep hearing and stuff like that. I'm grateful that there is a place people can be so open and not competitive and stuff like that. So the setup of the website, I mean, I've been to the forum a little bit. I'll be straightforward. It's like, I haven't had the bandwidth for it right now.
Totally.
Someone signs up, becomes a member, and then I was able to friend somebody and you and...
Yeah, it's a lot like Facebook and what we're used to, but it's very different in the same boat because I couldn't afford Facebook. So we're at a different level with that. So basically it's a free online community. If you go to awkwardlyzen.com, right at the top, it'll say sign up for our community and you go and you fill it out and we don't spam, we don't do any of that, but you come in and then you can connect with one another. So you can connect with me. I'm Ari, A-R-I on there. And I try to connect with everyone who comes into the community. We'll see what happens as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's groups. So you can go in and you can say, these are the things that I like. And you can pick those groups and become a member of that group. And then you'll see the things that happen in that group. So let's say you really love crystals, but you don't know a whole lot about them, or you really love crystals and you do know a whole lot about them and you love to share about it. If you join our crystals group, then if somebody says, hey, here's a picture of a crystal. What is this? You can help figure out what it is. Or you can say, hey, what's a crystal that I should use for shielding? And people will give you their list of that. Or you can search in that group and find what's a good crystal for shielding. Or like energy healing. Let's say you were trying to figure out what modality you want to explore or learn about. You could ask about Reiki, or you could ask about body code or emotion code. And as we grow and as our content grows, that's where people can help each other out and figure that out. So we have that whole side of it. And then you also can connect with one another. And we talk about when our in-person events are, and you can also learn about our other events that are going on.
So are these like forums where people just type in stuff, or is it video or audio?
Wholeheartedly like Facebook. Like, it's going to feel a whole lot like that, just not quite as smooth. I'll be completely honest. So like, if you go on Facebook and you go to a group that you are a part of on Facebook, group, like the Sage Goddess group or something, then everything that group does is within there. So you have a news feed, you have you have your own news feed, you also have the group's news feed. So you can click through both of those. Yeah, so you'll set up your own profile, you'll have a username, you can get your pictures on, all of that. And then you can post on your own personal news feed, or you can post in one of the group's news feeds. And then that all comes on to one big news feed that everybody will see. Yeah.
Well, that so sounds
it's
very
really
doable.
Like a social media. It's just, we call it an online community because it's much less, has less stigma to it.
Yeah.
And we just had a meeting today. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of work going on to try to make sure that we are maintaining a safe space for everyone. So we have an ethics committee that meets and talks about how do we stay with our mission and how do we make sure that we don't have people trying to be cult leaders and how do we.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Well, we joke all the time that we're not a cult because everybody talks about it. And when you hear us all get excited about it, or we all show up somewhere in our Awkwardly Zen shirts, people are like, what is happening? Because we all love it so much. I think probably three times a week I hear, but we're not a cult. But one of the things that we're working on is we're coming up with a class to teach people the red flags of things that are dangerous in spirituality because it's scary out there. And there are people who don't have good intentions. And so that's one of the things that we want to help with is, hey, you're on this path and all of a sudden this quote unquote guru is telling you to sell all of your worldly possessions and come with them. Let's have a conversation about that first. Like maybe let's check in. About that.
Oh my God, that's in my client agreement. When I have people sign them, I say something, my ethics are, I will not ask you to sell all of your assets.
I mean, that happens. You see these stories all the time. Yeah. And honestly, that class came from because I was listening to a podcast. I love true crime. And I was listening to a true crime podcast and it was talking about how this woman met this guy and they were talking about their past lives and how they had been in all these lives together. And I turned to my COO, Amber, and I said, they could be talking about us. Like they could be talking about one of our groups and we have to protect ourselves. So let's teach people what to watch out for. Let's make sure that they understand. Like just because somebody slides in your DMs and says, hey, by the way, I think I had a past life with you. Let's maybe double check that. And it's a hard thing. Like, how do you decide?
Yeah. Well, learning discernment, I think, is a really basic skill that people need to learn and to accept that you can trust spirit to guide you. But then there are times when you're going, maybe not so much there. So it's free will, maintaining sovereignty over your body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah. And realizing that, especially I think when you're new on your path and everything is so exciting, right? Every little thing is exciting and you want to do all the readings and all the things and all of that. It's so easy to trust everything. And what I always go back to is there were a few readings when I was going on where the message wasn't the same, right? Where all of a sudden something was off and it was like, okay, I've had enough readings and I've interacted enough. And now I'm starting to hear my guides more and none of the rest of them are saying this. And it almost always was with a practitioner that was like, you need to see me every 2 weeks for or some sort of process. Yeah. And that's a red flag, right? It's a red flag. Yeah. Not that there aren't people who have a whole thing and they're great, right? There's whole training processes that you can do with people and coaching. And some of those people are amazing, but you got to really go inside and trust your instinct and find out other people. Because if there's something about how broken you are and how they need to fix you.
That's not okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it happens all the time. I mean, we see that in these communities that we're in where it's, I need to fix you. One of my least favorite things and my first red flag is when someone says, I have been told that I am here to teach you. And I'm like,
I'm not okay with that at all.
Well, and for me, like, have I been told that I'm here for a reason? Yes. Have I been told that these are the ways I should go? Yes. But had I ever heard anybody go in my head or in my spirit group or any of those things? Have I ever heard anyone say, you have to do this?
No.
I sure have not because we have free will and because we can do that. I'm always like, and I'm not saying it's not possible. I have no idea. Maybe some people's guides are like that, but I've done enough readings now and checked in with it. I have yet, only one person I did a reading for was there a super intensity to it. And come to find out later on through multiple people who had done readings for this one person, that was a very unique situation where there was a changeling situation going on. And that person was trying to adjust all of us to think in a different way. And that was fascinating. And I got real excited because I was like, this is new. What's that? But I knew while doing that reading, like I couldn't take that voice that was saying this very specific thing. It had to be put aside because not how I read. I'm never going to tell somebody, you have to do this. I can't even imagine those words coming out of my mouth. And even asked me, like my least favorite is my relationship going to last? And I always laugh and I'm like, you know what? First of all, and Kendara Laurel always says, you know the answer. That's her. You know the answer on that. But I'll say, you know, let's see what the card says, but they're never going to tell you yes or no. It's not going to be very clear on this. I mean, I've had readings where I've been able to say, if you keep going on this path with this person in this way, it's not going to be easy, but that's common knowledge, y'all.
Those are some of my least favorite questions is, when am I going to meet the one? And my guides invariably will say, how's your relationship with yourself first? And there are so many people who don't want to hear that.
Totally. That's been a shock to me a little bit while starting to do readings. What I do, I called it intuitive tarot. And the reason I say that is because I don't really ever know how those messages are going to come through. And honestly, the cards are a crutch for me. Like I like to have the pretty pictures to fall back on.
Yeah.
And the more I do it, the less I use the cards, but it's amazing to me how much I feel more comfortable with that. And I would highly suggest to anyone who's getting started on reading, use your crutch, be comfortable with it. Use the thing that makes you feel at ease so that you can get the messages. Like I hear people all the time say, throw away the book. What? Why? Like why? I get great insight. Now I don't read the book to somebody because they can do that themselves, but I can tell.
And I sure don't memorize anything. I can't memorize anything. So I do it intuitively too. But yeah, it's a focal point to give you some place to jump off from. Yeah.
Well, and I also think sometimes it helps the person you're reading for because it's intense across from somebody. So to be able to look at something is really nice.
Exactly.
And when I'm saying something, a message from their guides, and then the card backs that up. You and I did that in the MeWe.
Yeah.
The last MeWe fair that we did together, you and I kept backing each other up. Like our messages were right on. So I was like, I like Susie. We're going to get along. Just but it was so much
funny. I thought the same thing about you. I thought the same thing about you, Ari. It's like, oh my God, yes. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah.
Okay. But having a place that I can go back to and refer to it and honestly not getting caught up in drama, that makes me really happy to think that.
Me too. Actually, we just had a meeting about that. We had a leadership retreat this weekend and we were talking about how to make sure we don't get caught up in the drama.
How
to keep that limited. And that's hard. It's a tough thing to do because we want to encourage people to be themselves. And I will say so far, I mean, we started the website on March 6th and so far we've had so little, anything that we've had to question and paying a lot of attention and we're doing that. And we shield it and every meetup and everything on a regular basis. That's part of the process of being a volunteer for Awkwardly Zen is you add that to your list of things to do. And I do think it makes a difference. It makes a difference to just put the right energy around it and create this bubble. That being said, we are in a human world. And so it's like you and I were talking about, sometimes people will jump into our meetups and create havoc. And we've gotten to the point where we laugh about it and we kick them out. And you know, if you're looking for a group that never swears and there's never vulgarity, we might not be your group, but it's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare, but we're human. And sometimes it gets a little salty, but I mean, that's another one of our rules is we try to stay away from anything too controversial. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about sexuality. We don't talk about like vaccinations. We're not going to talk about vaccinations in a Zen Zoom. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a moderator who guides that. And we then keep track of all of those things on our online media as well, because there's no point in starting fights like that. You have Facebook for that. You have Instagram for that. You have Twitter for that. You have all of these other locations for that. I love myself some Facebook, but we're not, that's not what we're for. Ours is about love and light and how do we create a safe space.
Cool. And so the Zen Zooms are where the practitioners present their information.
So Zen Zooms are just an open conversation. And then we also have other events. So we have deep dives and we have special events, and that's where our practitioners come in and they teach. They either can come in and teach and then have a question section after, which is a deep dive, or the special events, which are actually some of my favorites, is where a practitioner comes in, talks a little bit about whatever it is that they are passionate about, and then they go into like a guided meditation, or they do little mini readings for people, or they or they have some sort of activity that they do. So like I'll be teaching a deep dive, a special event coming up here on August 8th. So this will probably be well past by then, but we probably have it recorded. So I'll be teaching that on how to get out of your own way with spirituality. And so I'll teach a little bit and then we'll run through a guided meditation. And then we'll also have an activity of like how to set intentions and how to do use affirmations in a way that isn't just you saying something you don't believe. So we'll talk about something like
awesome.
That. Yeah. Or then we have somebody like Brenda Hardwick who comes in and sometimes she'll teach about angels and then she'll do little mini readings in the session and do something like that. So special events are super fun. And we are just about to start panel events where we bring on a panel of experts and talk about a specific subject as well. So,
wow.
40 to 50 events a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. But we have an army of volunteers.
Amazing.
Yeah. We have an army of volunteers who runs all of that. Everybody's been through training. We have channeling practice that's once a month. We have psychic development class that's once a month. So there's a lot of different options. If you go to awkwardlyzen.com and look at our events, it'll kick you over to Meetup and you can find a meetup that fits with your schedule or is in your time zone, at least. That does help. But yeah, we're going to be growing. I think we'll probably be in, somewhere around 30 to 40 locations by the end of this next year that we're in. So, we're excited.
These are free to the public or free to members?
Everything is free as of right now. So we will always have free events. And we will always have the online community be free. That's across the board. That has been very clearly told to me because we want to make sure everyone has the ability. We do, we're in the process of starting some paid classes and courses that if you want an extra level up in some of this education, if you've dipped your toe into chakras, but you want to know more, you can buy a course. We also want to create a platform for our practitioners to be able to share their information in a different way too. So we'll also have some of them have their courses and classes on our profile or on our platform as well. And those will be things that you can pay for, but we're trying to create a safe space for that as well. And so that people can find a place they can trust who is teaching. So everybody is vetted. We don't ever let anyone just randomly come in and teach. They have to go through me. That's been a huge difference with that. I'm pretty good. I trade readings with everybody who comes through so that I make sure that it's something that I feel really strong about. Or if it's somebody who has worked with multiples of our practitioners, then I still meet with them to make sure that the vibe is right. And what I say to everybody who comes in is come and hang out with our community because we're different. We're different and you got to feel the vibe of it. You got to understand what we do and how we are. And, every once in a while, a practitioner will come into a Zen Zoom and I can just feel their energy and they feel like they're better than us. And if you feel like you're better than us, you are not one of our practitioners. Our practitioners are a part of it all, but that happens and that's okay. Like there are people who are looking for that. Yeah. Big personality to guide them. And you do you. Like, that's okay. It's just, that's not what we're about. Ours is about like being there together and working through it all as a team. So,
yay.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool. I've got to get all my editing done so podcast put to bed for a bit. Cause the sooner I get that done, I'm definitely taking a couple of months off from the podcast, but that'll be October.
Well, the nice thing is that there's always something going on. It's very rare that we have a day that there's not something. So people can tap in and we have some things in the morning and some things not. As we're talking about stretching into Europe, we're going to have even more because we're going to have things at different times. So we're really excited about what that looks like and how that happens. I have no idea. I trust it's going to happen. The people are going to step up who need to be there. And it's worked so far. So we're just going to keep going.
Wow. That is definitely an example, a prime example of just going with it and getting out of your way to think that you've grown so much so quickly. That's amazing. That's amazing, Ari.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful. One, I'm grateful for the insight that was handed to me, and to be the person who got to be at the head of this and let it happen has been such a blessing, but also to watch how it's not about me. It's about all of these people coming together and creating something so magical. And I'm going to be the voice of it, and I get to talk about it, and I get to do the public speaking. But the reality is that I am just a vessel for this. And so to be able to hang out with all of these cool people has just been such a blessing with it. And I mean, we've had over 40 volunteers who have stepped up and just taken on this role and help us make things happen. And every day I get new requests for, hey, I want to volunteer. Hey, I want to volunteer. And that's becoming a job all on its own, is because I'm like, I don't know where to put you. Hold on. But I will. And so I think big things are going to be happening this night. I know big things are going to be happening this year. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be a part of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so very much. This has been, I'm so excited for you, and I'm excited to like jump into it and go play and see what's going on. I so love the idea that you are creating this safe space. And then I think therefore it becomes sacred space, which is important to spiritual growth, so that we can call in those things that are going to help people grow in the way that is good for them. I appreciate so much the time you're taking and all the information you've given us. Yeah. Ari Hunterford, she does do good tarot readings, and it's great fun when you see her go, oh, I got it. Yay.
There's no mute on my face. Like, I'm like, oh, yay, let's do it. I get it.
I do the same thing. Yeah. I try to have my game face on, but like we talked about earlier, sometimes it doesn't. But it is so confirming to have another practitioner get the same information. It validates so many things, not only the reading itself, but that we're all on the same path, and we're tapping into that same well of information and divinity. Okay, so thanks. This has been a great time. What? Any final thoughts from you, Ari?
No, I don't think so. I'd love to see all of you at awkwardlyzen.com, or if you go on Meetup and look up Awkwardly Zen, we'll show up. And Susie, I hope you come teach with us soon, because I think everyone will love you.
So grateful. Yeah.
I'm all about partnerships.
Yay. Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation, and I am certainly going to take you up on that. Yeah. I get listening to my discernment, my heart is just like cracking open and going, yes, this is what you can do, but it's in your time, and everything's going to be great. So I'm very excited to connect with people who have that groundedness and that down to earthness that I like. Pretension really ticks me off. So to be able to come in and drop the occasional F-bomb, or, you know, look at somebody and go, really? And have fun with it, but to not, I love non-judgy places. Oh God, I can't tell you how uplifting that's going to be. Thanks. Check out awkwardlyzen.com. And this has been Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing and Ari Hunterford of Awkwardly Zen. And I look forward to seeing everybody over there. And until next time, blessings. Thank you again for joining me for another episode on Transformation Talk Radio. My name is Susie Parker Goins of Blue Lightning Healing and Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My website is www.bluelightninghealing.com, and you can email me at Susie@bluelightninghealing.com. Blessings.